You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
So like I just said, we're going to spend the next 3 weeks at least talking a little bit differently. I'm not just going to get up here and rant and rave and yell and throw things like I usually do. We're going to be doing a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to be talking vision. We're going to be talking some big picture vision, some specific vision, things that God's been sowing in us, believe it or not, for 20 years and more. I'm going to share some of those things with you this morning. The season is changing around here, and life goes in seasons. God leads us from one thing to another. We go through various times in our lives, and sometimes they're pleasant, and other times they're not so pleasant, but I really believe God has been shifting gears with us. He's been building some vision and momentum in us, and so I think it's time for us to respond to that, to respond to some of the things that God's been tugging on my heart and the rest of the elders' heart and many of you. This morning I want to talk about breaking camp. You nervous? Are you nervous? Man, what is he going to say? A few weeks ago we had Steve Oliver visiting us. Steve didn't have the opportunity to come here on a Sunday morning and preach. I wish he could have. He's a fantastic guy. You would really have enjoyed him. But Steve is the man that I stayed with in South Africa this last March on his farm. He has churches in Dubai, and he soon will have churches in England that he leads. And just a humble guy, great to visit with, great heart. And we were spending time with him as leaders. And it was Saturday morning. We were over at Jason Harris's house. He's one of our elders, the guy that did announcements this morning, for those of you that don't know Jason. We were sitting in the backyard, and we were listening to Steve, and we were listening to Ray Lowe, and they were encouraging us and telling their story, phenomenal story. But then Steve said, "Jerry, I think I have a word for you out of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. And Moses is recounting some things to the Israelites. And he said, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb," it was a place that the Israelites were camping. They had come up out of Egypt, and this is one of the places they landed. And God said, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. You've stayed long enough in this place. Break camp and advance to the hill country." We're breaking camp. We're going to make some changes. We're not selling the building. We're not moving to Tahiti, although that would be a really good idea. Nothing quite that dramatic yet. Just some simple things and steps that God wants us to take right now. But he's saying, pull up your tent stakes. Pack your bags. We need to make some adjustments. One of the things that we talked about early on after transition and I took leadership here at Mount Helena was the idea that the church is in process. The church never arrives at its destination. It is constantly changing. It is constantly growing. It is constantly being formed. Jesus said to Peter at one point, he said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." When Jesus left, the church was birthed. He empowered the church with the Holy Spirit. And ever since then, that gospel message has been spreading throughout the earth, and God has been raising up followers, raising up a family of believers. He refers to us as sons and daughters. You hear me pray that a lot in my prayers up here. It's so important that we understand that that is our relationship to God, and he's building his family on the earth. You know, when we have success at something, we tend to institutionalize that success. We turn it into a mathematical formula. We turn it into a school, we turn it into a doctrine, and we never move on from that point. Let me ask those of you that are married, what if you had never moved on from the first 2 years of your marriage? Some of you are like, yeah, that's good. The rest of us are like, yeah, I'm glad we moved on. My wife's not here today, so I won't throw her under the bus. But my first 2 years of marriage, I'm lucky I survived. Seriously. You guys know what that feels like. If we don't grow, if we don't change, if we don't let our thinking become more mature, that's a new word. We have a new philosophy called machinking. It's a mature thinking. You know, I prayed this morning before the service. I don't plan humor in my messages. And I pray, I say, God, just you know, because I feel too serious, just inject a little humor in it. And sure enough, he does, usually at my expense. Thank you, Lord. I am not my own. I was bought at a price. You know, when God made a promise to Abraham to number his offspring greater than the stars in the sky, that promise isn't finished yet. That was a promise that was made thousands of years ago. That promise isn't finished yet. You are Abraham's seed. You are part of his family. We have not arrived. When we find ourselves operating in one certain way, in one mode of operation too long, it loses its salt. It loses its spice. It loses its flavor. And there's a reason for that. Not just that we're human and we get used to things and we get finicky and bored, which we do, but because God doesn't want us camping out in one place forever. He wants us to pick up and move from glory to glory. Mountains and valleys, become mature to overcome the obstacles, to take ground in his kingdom, to win lost people to Christ, to make disciples, to build his church, to exercise our gifting. We don't ever finish that process. You are never finished being discipled. We talked about discipleship 2 weeks ago. When Jesus left, he left us with a mission, and it's to make disciples in every nation and take this gospel message to every nation, and he empowered us to do that. When we sit in one place too long, we stagnate. We've got to keep growing. That applies to us personally. Listen, if you don't have a testimony, our former senior pastor, Brian, who's still a major influence in our lives, used to say, if you have a testimony that's more than a year or two old, you need to go get a new one. Go get a new testimony. Go do something. Get some dirt under your fingernails and write a story. Let God write a story on your heart. Let him write a new story in your book. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let there be a new day in your heart. Don't stagnate. And we don't want to do that as a church either. There is no formula. Why is the New Testament? We talked about this 2 weeks ago when we were talking about discipleship. The Old Testament in my Bible, depending on how thick, let's pretend I have a Bible this thick, okay? This much of it's the Old Testament. This much of it's the New Testament. Why? Because the formula doesn't work. Even when we have the formula, it doesn't change our hearts. It doesn't grow us to maturity. We have to get the heart of God, which means we need to relate directly to God. It's why Jesus said, I have to go. I suggested the question to you, why didn't Jesus stay on the earth after his resurrection to teach us and to show us exactly what he wanted under this new covenant? Why didn't he do that? Because he had to go that the Holy Spirit could come. It was part of God's plan. And the Spirit could be everywhere. Jesus could only be in one place at that time. But the Spirit could be everywhere. And you and I relate to our Heavenly Father through that Spirit. We make decisions by that Spirit. We follow that Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he's constantly leading us on new adventures. Don't stagnate. We're not going to stagnate. This word, when Steve shared it, about breaking camp, was nothing new in our minds. It was confirmation. Confirmation that God has been stirring and challenging in us to make adjustments, to continue to change. We made changes when we transitioned to a new leadership. We made adjustments, nothing insanely fanatical, crazy. We just started making adjustments towards who we think God has called us to be. It's time to push for some of the things that God has called us to do. To push a little more. To make the adjustments to do what we've been called to do and who we are called to be. When you read the account of Moses and the Israelites, they were in Egypt. They came out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They wandered around the desert. They camped here and there. Leadership went to Joshua. He crossed the Jordan. He took Jericho. He took Ai, and on and on and on and on and on. They were on the move all the time, taking ground, following God. We never really arrive. Maybe after this life, maybe we do, but I suspect a million years into the future, we'll still be pondering the depth of God, how great his love and plans for us are. They're infinite. Don't arrive. If you feel like you've arrived, check yourself. Pull the tent stakes up, load the station wagon, and move to the next thing God has for you. Today we break camp as an organization, as a people. We're going to make a change. I'm not going to build up a bunch of suspense for a vision statement or anything like that for you. Our vision statement in recent years has been sharing the hope of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. It's stamped on everything. It's communicated often. And I think it served its purpose. But we've been wrestling the last couple years with, okay, God, that's nice, but we need to make some adjustments for something that means more to our people, something we can operate with. Whenever I would hear that, sharing the hope of Jesus Christ everywhere we go, I would think of a guy standing on a soapbox on the corner. And we've not been particularly evangelistic as a group of people. That is a weakness. But I think we need to continue to wrestle with how God would have us do that. The key word of that statement was go. God took a season to sow into us the idea that everywhere we are is our mission. This mission of the gospel is not geographical. It is everywhere we find our feet. We have a mission there, and it's to share the hope of Jesus Christ everywhere. Not just within the four walls of this building, but in our jobs, in our hobbies, whether we know what we're doing or not, wherever we find ourselves, we need to be sharing that hope. But I think we need to make a change. You see, we got a two-part statement going on here, building community and living the mission. Now, I'm not going to dissect much of this today. I might do more of that next week. I think a lot of it is self-explanatory, but there's a lot of subtext to that. If you talk to the elders about this, the conversation regarding a vision statement, I think they probably wanted to drag me outside and beat me numerous times because I found it so frustrating to try and come up with something. Because you know not everything can be summarized in one little statement. But a lot can be said. But before we dive too much into this, I want to recount history. You know, when Moses... a better example would be Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr after Jesus died. He was taken out in the street and he was stoned. Not in today's definition of stoned. They killed him. One of the things that you see repeated throughout the scripture is they would recount their history. When they were making an argument, they would say, Moses delivered us from Egypt, and these were the plagues, and this was the law, and here were the prophets, and they'd go through and they'd recount the history in order to set the stage for their argument or whatever they were doing, whatever point they were making. They had to do that to explain who Jesus was. They had to explain the entire process. They had to know where they came from, and I want you to know where you came from as a part of this church. I want you to know some things you probably have never known about Mount Helena Community Church. Not all of my information is completely, specifically accurate or correct. Even when I ask the people that were around in those days, they're not exactly sure of some of these dates, but that's not the point. This church started in 1978. Who was alive in 1978? Barely. A lot of you weren't even around. I was talking to Marv Holmquist this morning. I'm pretty sure Marv's the longest standing member here at the church right now, and he came around in 1980. It was 2 years after this church was birthed. He said he was attending. We had worship nights on Grace Gospel Church. That's what it was called. And Marv started attending, and then eventually they started attending the church. And been around a while. You got a lot of history there, a lot of reputation, a lot of things God has done. Obviously, I don't remember them all. So I'm going to fast forward right into the 90s. Actually, it was about 1984, right in their mid-80s, Mount Helena had a school here in Helena. In fact, I grew up out in Elliston, a little town on the other side of the pass. And the only sport we play out there is basketball. And actually, the reason that basketball... Never mind, forget it. Go down a drain there. We would play basketball against the Mount Helena Community Church School. We'd come over from Elliston and we'd go up to the school, and they had a carpeted gym floor, which we hated. And we're gonna go play basketball against them Christian kids. Christine Canning was like a foot and a half taller than me, I think, at that time, and totally schooled me. Ryan Warner was a curly-haired point guard running up and down the floor. Those of you that know Ryan. They had a school. They started a school. Eventually, it was up on the hill where St. Andrews is today. In fact, we sold that building to St. Andrews. So that's where the Catholic school up there on the hill, that was our building. That was our school. And Brian Acey, who was our former pastor, took over in the early 90s, eventually shut down the school, and in the late 90s sold the building. We became nomadic in those days. Mount Helena was birthed out of the charismatic movement. What is the charismatic movement? Charismatic movement is somewhat of an extension of Pentecostalism, which got started in the early 1900s, but God began to inject his Holy Spirit into the church. And there's always been a thread throughout history of people that believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and believed that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with power. A lot of people don't believe that. They believe that you receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. You receive a deposit of the Holy Spirit, and we do believe that. But that prophecy and the work of the apostle was something that was meant with the original 12 that had actually witnessed Jesus. But we believe that all five of those giftings are still active today by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happened in the 1960s, it was actually in an Episcopal church in California, is where most of the idea of the charismatics began. And it was, I believe it was an Episcopalian, I think so. I think I have that right. I could be wrong. And he started teaching on this, and he believed he'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, man, that hit the press because that was unusual at that time. And it stirred up a lot. And so you saw through the mainline churches a beginning of an expression of the Holy Spirit. Well, it took a few years, but pretty soon these independent churches start being birthed out of the charismatic movement because the churches that didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the expression of the gifts were uncomfortable with that. So those churches started to separate out and started to form independent churches. That's where Mount Helena actually came from. In fact, prior to 1978, I sound like a history teacher, I'm making you bored, I see somebody about ready to fall asleep. Prior to 1978, there was a group of people that came out of Sunburst, Montana. And if you know Corey and Julie Swanson, or you know John Swanson, Corey's dad, who actually was a part of this church for a while, that was his crew that came down out of Sunburst to do some work down here, and eventually that's where Grace Gospel Church came from, which eventually became Mount Helena Community Church. But one of the things that happens when prophetic ministry started to enter the church world, obviously there's great things that come with that, but there's bad things that come with that too. It's opportunity for people to get into power struggle and be manipulative. There's opportunity for error. There's opportunity to be removed from judgment. There was. You guys, the Holy Spirit is not mysticism. He doesn't take over your body and move your mouth. When you feel like, you know, the Holy Spirit could say to you right now, why don't you put your arm around your wife? That would probably be a good idea, because he would say that. That's prophetic. When the spirit of man hears from the spirit of God, that's prophetic. But it gets all kinds of crazy, and charismatics often carry the reputation of being flaky, being weird. Hey, we're weird. God does weird. God totally does weird. Have you read the Bible? Some stuff is so weird, I'm uncomfortable saying it from this pulpit. Ezekiel, some of the stuff that he had to do. The guy, God told him to shave his beard with a sword. What? Why? Does it matter? He told him to. God does weird. But God does order, too. And one of the things that began to happen in the 90s as the prophetic gift began to mature and there was some order starting to be brought to the idea of prophesying and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and those kind of things, things began to solidify. And we enter this area, I'm calling it, this is just my perspective. You talk to some of the folks that have been around here for a while and they're going to have different views about our history, but this is the kind of the way I see it, that we entered an era in the mid-90s of a heavy, heavy prophetic investment and development. This church was pretty small at that point. You know, when it was a school, it was big. There was a lot of people involved, but when leadership transitioned to Brian and the building got, the school shut down, all those things, it shrunk a lot. And during that time, some people refer to it as renewal. God poured out in this congregation, and you want to talk about weird, you ask them some of the stories of what went on. Because when the Spirit of God shows up and wants to do something, he just does it. Despite ourselves. But as maturity came, God started to plant a very rich prophetic deposit into this church. He started to speak things through prophetic people. He started to bring us relationships from other networks and our own network that began to deposit prophetic vision into this congregation. And this congregation really started to get fired up. And I, you know, the last 10 years, we haven't seen the length and depth of prophetic input into this church like we saw in those 10 years. Like a prophetic vision. Now, we've developed prophetic ministry here, and we've been starting to raise up prophetic people, probably more in the way God intends long term, is that all of us understand and operate in a healthy way with what the prophetic is, not just Clem Ferris coming to town twice a year. But in those years, there was a strong deposit of prophetic vision into this church. And I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. So then we get fired up. Mount Helena Community Church starts to grow. We were nomadic. We had a building downtown for a while. We met in the Great Northern after it was built. And really, in terms of volume of people, those were our busiest days. We had over 400 people coming. We had a program called Encounters that we were taking people through. We filled the Great Northern. It was a lot of life and momentum in those days. It was on the tail end of God depositing all of this prophetic vision into his people. And we were excited. Well, then we get into the next phase, growth, gateway, and growing pains. 2005 till now. We built this building in 2007. I remember standing over there in the corner, probably where the offices are. This was an empty building. It was a warehouse. It looked like a parking lot. It had lines painted on the floor. It was empty. I remember standing in that corner in a circle with probably 20 people and praying, asking God. We'd looked at other buildings. We'd been looking for a building for 2 years. We had prophetic words about buildings. We were like, man, we need a place. Because God's going to break out amongst us, and we need a place to house this. In fact, we had a prophetic word. I was going through some of them earlier. It said, you need to have a building when God breaks out because this is going to be going on. It's going to be going on around here. Man, we were excited. We felt like God told us to buy this building, renovate it, make it like a community center. Don't build it like a church. Don't put a cross on the top. Make it something that the community can use. Don't let it sit vacant all week just to get used on Sunday. Do it differently. So we did it differently. And in 2007, we moved into this building, and at that time, you know, the economy really crashed. We had a significant, I shouldn't say significant, but we had a portion of people that were pretty attached to us that left the church about the day we moved in. It was painful. Relationships get broken, and vision starts to fall to the ground. You ever have a moment like that in your life? Boy, you're excited, and you're going to... I remember when I was going to start my business. I sat down with my dad, and Dad and I were rebuilding our relationship at that time, and really grew from there. But you know how you are when you're going to do something new, man. You're just on fire. You're excited. Nothing can stop you, and God's going to, you know, you're going to be riding on the clouds into victory, right? Don't work that way, does it? We entered some growing pains. And it felt for a long season like we're just looking at our feet and trying to survive. Now we did what God told us, and now we're going broke in this building. We did what God told us, and now people are leaving. We did what God told us, and we just can't seem to push through this time. I don't know what it felt like to you that were here during that time, but that's what it felt like to me. Serious, serious growing pains. You know, looking back even now, I think a lot of it has to do with that. God wasn't going to let us settle. He wasn't going to let us move into a four-walled facility and grow mold. He's going to challenge us. He's going to push us. He's going to frustrate our selfish plans and the things that weren't of him. And he's been doing that, man. He's been rearranging the heart around here. And I'm so thankful for it. You know, every season, you could say it was a successful season. You could say it was a failure. Dana preached a message a while ago about, and Cyrus referred to the scripture today that says, he works all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. He works all things for the good. It's like, really? That worst moment of my life, you're working for the good? Well, I can look back and look at some really tough things that I've gone through and say, you know what? You can't tell me that God wasn't in that. You can't tell me that my utter failure was not part of God's plan. Just don't believe it. He uses it. He uses it to shape us. He uses it to change us. And he's doing that with us as a church as well. He's been shaping us. Growth, gateway, and growing pains. We've been in growing pains. We transitioned to new leadership in 2012. And it's taken us a few years to find our feet, but I think we've landed on our feet. There's been momentum. There's been life. God has been presenting us with more opportunities. I was thinking about it this morning. I was reading an email from Brian of yet another opportunity internationally, another opportunity to sow financially, another opportunity to hear from somebody that's doing something somewhere else on the earth. I'm like, God, I can't afford to do all the things you want us to do now. I can't have that many friends. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? Why? God's just starting to invest in us. And honestly, I think it's because we've stewarded what he gave us through good and bad. Not just me, all of us. I so appreciate you, Marv. I appreciate you, Marv. I appreciate you, Mary Gay. I appreciate you, Christine and Jason. Those of you that have been around forever, I appreciate you. I appreciate your loyalty. You guys, God is going to honor your loyalty. I think God's going to honor our stewardship. I'm thankful for that. I want to go back to this season of prophetic input. I'm going to make some of you uncomfortable because we haven't made much of a public thing of prophetic ministry in recent years. because it's not particularly popular in a lot of circles. And I think I'm done being afraid about it. There's no fear. We gotta be who we're called to be. We gotta act on what we believe, or it's not faith. We are a prophetic people. We are an apostolic people. We're a teaching people. We have every gift represented in this room. We have that. Let's use that. Scripture says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. The NIV said, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Some of you know that scripture to say, where there is no revelation, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. They die. That's this scripture. In Amos, it says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. God wants to speak to his children. He wants to reveal his heart to you, not just through some mystical human being who the Holy Spirit takes over and moves his mouth. He speaks to our heart, every one of you. He speaks to our spirit. We hear from him, and we need to act upon that, and we get vision from that. When God told Moses at Horeb to pull up the tent stakes, load the station wagon, and head towards the promised land, he gave him that vision. Go to the hill country. I'm telling you where to go. I'm giving you vision for what's next, for how to lead this people. He gave him vision. God has given us vision. He's given you vision. If you have no vision for what to do with your life, ask God. See what vision he speaks into your heart. See what he would show you. See where he would lead you. We have to have revelation of who God calls us to be. We can't just, like with business, we do this with business. If I'm gonna start a heating and air conditioning company, that is the clear goal from the beginning. And I can follow a formula, and I can read the books and all those kind of things. I don't need vision from the Holy Spirit to build my heating and air conditioning company. If I'm smart, I would. But I don't need it. We could build a church without the Holy Spirit. God forbid. We could find some fantastic speakers instead of the ones you got now. We could get a fog machine and lights. We could have rock and music. We could give everybody cookies at the door. We could still do that. Is that how you build the church? For some people, that's what they're called to do. I am not called to be cool. That's clear. Not part of my gifting. We are called to follow Christ wherever he would lead us. Popular or unpopular, cool or uncool. Again, I remind you for the umpteenth time of the story where Jesus spit on the ground, stuck mud in the eyes of the blind man, and it healed him. Jesus responded to what he felt he was supposed to do. He never did it again. God called him to do something. He did it the one time. He never did it again. Why don't we do it? We have to listen to God and obey what he's telling us to do now. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. What do we see the Father doing? What do we see the Father doing? And are we responding? The only way we can see is through the Holy Spirit. We have to ask God. God, show us. We need prophetic vision or we grow stagnant. And we just sit down, build a house, and we never move on. I want to read to you some things. In fact, I wish I could read this whole thing to you. For those of you that don't are wrestling with the prophetic and the idea that God speaks and that we should listen to that and that we should seek that, I would just encourage you to keep wrestling with that. Don't lay it to the side. For those of us that have experienced it and the fulfillment of it, it's easy to just, yeah, it's awesome, good, away we go. But I know how hard it is when you don't believe in prophetic ministry. And you have a hard time believing that God would actually talk to his people. And you have a hard time trusting that God would use people to speak profound things into your life. I understand that. It's hard. But God will build your trust in him. if you give him a window to start to work with you. The reason I want to read these to you is because I want to. Because I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be motivated. I want you to understand that who we are today is not by happenstance. And it's not just by man's design. It's by the design of God. And even when we've looked at ourselves and gone, man, we're way off track. We're never going to accomplish these things that we feel like God has called us to. I look back at this stuff and I'm astounded. This was in 1995. Clem Ferris spoke this over the church. For you have been known as those who have been, I'm sorry, this is Ron Atkins. For you have been known as those who have been on the other side of the hill, on the upside of the hill. But the Lord says, I will cause you to be known in the community as a community center and a community church, says the Lord. That was 12 years before we had a community center. For surely, says the Lord, would I not cause you to rub shoulders with the people in this place? Would I not cause you to eat with them and to drink with them and to have fun with them, says the Lord? For I would break down the barriers that have held you back and have held them back, says the Lord. For there shall be a new community-mindedness. There shall be a reaching out. There shall be new touching the community. That's not who we were. It is who we are. God was sowing prophetic vision in this congregation. 1997, Keith Hazel, I am birthing you to be a center into which people come for my refreshing. I will even bring back to you, says the Lord, people who have hidden themselves in caves and gullies, people who have hidden themselves in solitary places because they have fallen from the ways of the Lord. And I will write grace, grace, grace over the door of this house. And it will not be an empty word, that word grace. It will not be a cry of legalism. It will be grace, 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 and I will write access, access over this house, says the Lord. Doesn't that sound good to be a place where somebody that is suffering, whether they've fallen away from God or struggling in legalism or burnt out on life, can come to a place where it says grace, grace, grace over the doors. God's been shaping us that way. He's been building us that way. He's been writing that over this house. I love it. Here's a huge one. 1998, spoken over Brian and Margaret, the former leaders here. For the days to come, this is going to be a storehouse that will feed many. It's going to be a training center for both missionaries and church planners. I can see that now. Not sure I could see that 10 years ago. And this will be a place where many are sent and many will come from the nations and other cities and they will come to this place and sit at your feet and learn the things God is teaching you. This church is going to reach the state, 1998, Rob Butler. Here's a great one, Storm and Bill Norton. Yeah, you laugh because you remember Storm and Bill Norton, don't you? He'd have made you all a little uncomfortable, I think. Said, may we fan the flames and may we believe that it's going to break. And I repeat, have a building available when God begins to break among you that it can go on for weeks because there are prophetic surprises on the horizon. He goes on, the congregation will one day have a multi-purpose center, building being used 7 days a week. Guys, this was in 1998. 10 years before it happened. Here's another one. It's Keith Hazel, again in 1998. You will be a household of provision, says the Lord. You will be a storehouse city, even for those that are around. For I have set you in the middle of barrenness, says the Lord. There is barrenness in the towns and barrenness in the villages around. But I say there will be corn in the house of the Lord. There will be food here, and you will begin to feed them in the villages around. You will begin to feed them in the towns around. One of the things that God dropped in my heart last fall when Peter Kasirivu was here. Peter's from Uganda. If you remember, he came here and he preached. And Peter oversees thousands of people. I mean, the guy's phenomenal. And he's so humble, you wouldn't even know it talking to him or anything. He just, Well, while he was here, I felt like God started to stir a vision in me to reach the small communities around here. It's something that's always kind of been there. When we took the youth ministry on a thing called STORM, Strategic Teams Outreaching Rural Montana, remember that? I'm probably the only one left. Oh, Jason, Justin, there's a few of you. Oh, yeah, some of the parents remember. And for 7 days, we traveled to every town within a 100-mile radius of Helena. We drove stakes in the ground with that town's name on it, and we prayed in every single town. It took us a week of camping and driving from town to town and praying. We had so many cool adventures on that week. Youth group and a bunch of young kids, and man, God did some amazing things. But God was beginning a work in our heart to see that we could be a place of provision to these smaller communities around us. You guys, there are pastors and leaders and people out in these little communities that are doing thankless work with no glory or accolade. Montana's a tough place. And there's some tough small towns out there. Could we be a type of people that helps reach our state to encourage those who are at work? Dana and Cheryl are about to start the prophetic class that they did here over the last few years in raising up the prophetic ministry. They're going to do that in Boulder starting in September. The Assemblies of God Church in Boulder has invited them to come down and help them build prophetic ministry in their church. God is fulfilling his word. He's raising us to be who he has always called us to be. I have to tell you, there were times that I just went, did we miss it? Did we miss all those prophetic words? Did we miss that calling? But God is not slow in fulfilling his promises as some perceive slow to be. With him, a day is as 1,000 years. Right? That's what the scripture teaches us. For the day is coming when I will begin to bring ministries from other places, and they will sit down in your midst, and they will be a part of what I'm doing here, for I'm going to build a team here. I'm going to build a team. It's an important part of who we are. And this is going to be a hub. Where was this? 1999. And this is going to be a hub, says the Lord. It's going to be a center point. It's going to be a center of gatherings, a center of strategy, a center of where you train and release. Don't any longer look just to the city, for I will give you influence in the city, and I will make you a part of the overall vision of the city. But the Lord says, that is not just your vision for the city, it's my vision, and you're a part. You have an even greater job to do and a greater part to play in going out. For there's an apostolic thrusting and there's an apostolic force that I'm releasing, says the Lord, in you to go and be sent and to send. That's what the apostolic ministry is. To send and be sent. With effectiveness, with gifting. Here it is later. Same prophetic word, 1999. This was Clem. The Lord has called you to be a Joseph house. He's called you to be a house of blessing. He's called you to be a house of giving, a house that has the resources of God working for them. Are you hearing a theme? God's going to use us for something. He's going to use you and me and this building and your gifting. God is calling us to something. I could go on and on and on, and I want to. And the children's workers will stone me afterwards. Okay, 2002. This church is going to be involved in lots of nations, supporting lots of nations. What did I just say? I'm starting to get so much open door opportunity to the nations, I don't even know what to do with it. And I'm thankful for it. Come on. Let's be the kind of people that send, that equip people that can go, whether it's to Boulder or to the nations. That's who we want to be. Apostolic Center, here it is, 2000, the same year. This was over John and Linda Swanson, who I had mentioned earlier. This is an apostolic house. There's an apostolic team that is going to come out of this house. Again, there we see it. Apostolic Center, a place of sending. There's a divine withholding. This is 2005 over Reagan and Shreya. Reagan is an elder here in the church, and Shreya also is our lead administrator. And God always seemed to give you guys words for the church, didn't he? It just seemed like that's the way it was. Maybe that was his way of keeping you around. There's been a divine withholding on a building. This is in 2005. We're nomadic. We're desperate for a building at this point. We're filling the Great Northern. We have to set up every Sunday. You think you have to work a lot around here now. You should have been here then. Oh, I sound like your dad. I had to walk uphill to school both ways. Back in my day, we set up every week. We had to set up the drums. We had to set up the stage. Everything. It took everybody to make the service happen. Honestly, I think that's why we had such great momentum. We had to serve. He didn't have a choice. Serving's part of God's economy. You get inside these four walls and it's easy to find your favorite seat and grow mold. No. We have to move. We have to serve. We have to be going all the time. There's been a divine withholding on a building because God will not let you get in a traditional church-based operating system where people come into the worship center and get preached at and then go home. Something we wrestle with a lot and wrestle with today. There's transition coming even in the vocabulary of this house. Why do we need vision statements? We need right vocabulary. We need to use the right words. There are some words that used to mean one thing and now they mean something else. I'm not giving you any examples. Most of them are not church-friendly words. I'm so sick of, what's the word the politicians use all the time these days? Comprehensive. Gag me on the comprehensive this and comprehensive that. It doesn't even mean anything to me anymore. We need new vocabulary sometimes in the church. You're not going to be talking about church and a church base and how we do it in the church. It's like what we're doing in the community, our kingdom. We're going to be a community kingdom based on a system that operates outside the walls of any building that any building could hold. There's a future design coming where he's going to unfold that and it's going to say community, community, community. What has God been building in us all these years, significantly through Brian, our former leader? Healthy relationships, healthy community. How does this stuff work? How do we become a healthy body and not just a stagnant body? Told you I could go on and on about it. Paul said to Timothy, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience." When God gives us prophetic vision, we need to hold on to that. If God has sown a vision in your heart for something, hold on to that. War for that. Pray for that. Bring that before him. Remind him of what he said. How many times do we see some of the heroes in the Bible do that? God, you said. God, you said. This is what you spoke. This is what I feel like you told me. They remind him. Paul is challenging Timothy to war with those things. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live according to the Spirit of God, if we're following his leadership, then let's keep in step with it. Just reinforcing that we need to follow the Spirit of God. Here's a couple of our old statements. The other one was lifting others up. Remember that? I still have a t-shirt that says that. I wear it just to see what kind of eyebrows I get from people. It's kind of like the coffee mug out there that says New Light in the 90s. Never mind. Those were great. Those were great for the season. Lifting others up was a season where Brian was pounding servanthood into us, and we were learning to be servants and learning to serve others and learning to be externally focused. It was important. It was an important part of who we are. Why do we need vision statements? Vision statements are insufficient. This is why I almost went crazy trying to do this and work this process out with the rest of the elders. There is no way you can summarize in five words who we are. There's no way. And the Bible is full of so much vision. There's a reason it's a book and not a vision statement. It's a book. There are so many things in there. We can't communicate all the things God has called us to do and be in one quick statement. But we have to start somewhere. A lens through which we can look at the work we do. Does it build community? Is it healthy? Does it take us on the mission we're called to? If it doesn't, then we're not doing it. Sorry to dash the hopes of all of you that were wanting to have a church bazaar, but and bake sale. We're not going to do it. There are so many things that we could waste our time doing. Why? Let's build a healthy group of believers that is able to go and live the mission that's been given to it by God. These feed into each other. Building community and living the mission feed into each other. If this community is healthy, then we can be an apostolic center. We can be a place that raises disciples and has the ability to send them into places. Again, whether it's the nations or whether it's Elliston, Montana. We want to be kingdom-minded from within these four walls to the ends of the earth. Taking that gospel message. Building community is not something unusual around here. Living the mission is a little more new. But God is calling us to pull up our tent stakes and move. Today we break camp. We're going to make an adjustment. You don't turn a ship 180 degrees like that. We're just going to make a little adjustment. Change course a little bit. Jason's going to be talking in 2 weeks about some of the adjustments we want to make to life groups. Prophetic team is experiencing changes. Worship team will be experiencing changes. We're constantly like, God, what do you want to do with this stuff? Let's change it. Let's make it work. God isn't raising us to be traditional. He's raising us to get stuff done. And that's who we want to be. I'm going to talk about this further next week and dive into more of it. I would encourage you, please be here. I think it's important to help you understand some of the thinking that went into this stuff. Would you stand? Are you okay? Are you stirred? You want to build a place of sending? I think we should do that. You know, sometimes I'm afraid of over-promising and under-delivering. But when there's prophetic vision, we can continue to be stirred for more, for bigger, for more effective, that every one of us plays a part of. I'll stop talking now. Lord, thank you so much, God, for leading us. Lord, thank you for, as we look back on the history of this church, Lord, we see that times that we weren't necessarily convinced were successful, you still managed to succeed. You're growing us up. And we fall on our face from time to time, and we doubt you at times. But God, you are raising us all up together as a family. One of your little families here in the kingdom. Lord, I pray you would find us to be good stewards with what you've given us. God, we want to see these prophetic visions fulfilled. We want to have an impact on the earth. We want to have an impact on this earth. And we want to answer the call you've given us. Help us to do that with wisdom and strategy. Help us to do it in humility. This isn't about us building up some sort of arrogant, self-focused institution, but it's about us having a desire to fulfill who you've called us to be. We're so thankful. We praise you for that. Amen.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.